everyone, and welcome back. This is Tony Lontis, your host, and today we are continuing on our show series of Unwavered Success with Mel B. Now, before I get on and introduce the gorgeous Mel, I just want to let you know that we have Payo ready and waiting online to take your questions, comments, and to provide you with links of anything that we talk about on the show today. A reminder, too, that all you need to do is to jump on MelB, that's a double L, .com, and you'll also find any of the resources that we talk about today and that we've previously talked about in the show. And a reminder too that you can catch up on any of the shows that you missed. So we've done four shows already, which were jam-packed with amazing in-depth information, and you can catch up on those either by jumping onto Melby's website or jumping onto Binge TV Networks USA, Hero Go TV Networks USA, or the Tony TV channel app on all Roku, LG, and Samsung smart TVs across the planet. Now, as I mentioned before, this is the fifth show with the gorgeous Mel B, and she is a mindset mentor, intuitive healer, and speaker on perspectives and empathetic and empathic elevation. She's widely considered a change maker for the super conscious transformation of people. She partners with empathpreneurs to untangle their mind web, and all of these descriptors we've talked about previously and we will touch on again this morning by way of recap. So she wants you to be free and live your best life, and she's also recognized as being in the top 1% of leadership coaches across the planet, and she's also a multi-award winning healer. So if you want to make a bigger impact on the world, then I encourage you to connect with Mel and the team and find out how to do that. So let's recap. Just before Christmas, in the four shows in the lead up to Christmas, we gave the audience, you the audience, a huge amount of information about empathy, empathpreneurs, the mind web and how to untangle that. We talked about the super consciousness, values, beliefs, paradigm, quantum shifts, quantum healing, universal laws, and we introduced you to how Mel makes a difference in the powerful attempts to change your life. We introduce you to her amazing courses, from the Alchemy Accelerator to the Ambition Accelerator. And in the next four series of shows, we're actually going to slow things down quite a bit and have a heartfelt conversation about a whole range of things, and today's show is no different. Today we want to talk about empathy, and so before we do that, I just want to take the opportunity to thank Mel for the amount of work she does put into her business, her self-development, and her clients. I know that she already makes a powerful impact across the world, and I know without a shadow of a doubt that she can make a complete impact on you and your life if you'll allow her to do so. So today we want to talk about what it's like to navigate life from the perspective of an empath, and we're going to be exploring the concept beginning with what an empath is. So welcome back, Mel. How are you?
Fabulous. Thank you. Thank you for such a beautiful, warm welcome. I just want to not correct you, but just add a point of clarity in the introduction. Yes. I'm recognized as one of the top 1% coaches in Australia, not worldwide. So I'm not one of those hypey, overclaimy people. It was just a flip of the tongue, as you said it. So I like to be completely transparent.
Oh, thank you, Mel. I already think of you as having that global impact, you see. So that's already set in my mind because I know that that's what will happen. But thank you for reminding
me. I'm globally one of the top 10. I was recognized that as a healer back in 2019, but as a leadership coach, that's in Australia. So it's not global yet, but you know, we're getting there. We're making the impact both as healing and as leadership. So yeah, I'm really good, excited about 2022 as many spiritual workers are. This is a very, very powerful year. The numerologists are very excited about 2-2. So I know I've booked my retreat for the 22nd of the 2nd of the 22nd. So I think there's a few of us who are trying to lock in that date as well as 2nd of Feb. So there's a lot of exciting shifts on the horizon for our planet really this year.
I was just actually going to delve into that a little bit from a numerology and a spiritual perspective. What are some of the things that are showing up for 2022? Because from an Australian perspective and of course a global perspective, we're still not out of pandemic territory, and there still remains a lot of flux and uncertainty and chaos, which will lead into in our bigger conversation. But from a spiritual and numerology perspective, both of which you have the most intense wisdom around, what can we expect in 2022? What are some of the things that you're looking forward to?
Yeah, look, I'm not a numerologist, so I'm not even going to go there because I'm sure I'll be corrected if I say anything slightly off the mark.
You're a follower and an understander.
To a certain degree into my own business and philosophies. I definitely feel those transitions, and I think new opportunities. You know, you can easily say any of these things at any time of the year, but I do, I'm getting the insight that transition is concluding and it's time for new chapters. So that's what I'm most excited about. And as a new year, anybody, a lot of people like to look at the year ahead. Scottish, born and raised myself, Hogmanay is a massive part for. It's a bit like the American Thanksgiving. Hogmanay for us is we reflect back and then we look forward. So seeing in the new year, we've got the Chinese New Year in January as well. So it's, it really is a time for, can we change the past? Maybe not. Yeah. Can we learn from it? Definitely. Yeah, what do we want to do going forward? And that's how I like to live my life. So yeah, empaths. Let's dive in.
Talk about empaths. So just again for clarity, I identify as an empath, and I know that Mel does, and that leads to why she is passionate about working with empaths. But let's start the discussion and talk about empathy in general. What does empathy mean, and what does it look like in someone's life?
It shows up in a few different ways. We can go deep. There's an amazing book called Why Woo Woo Works, and it actually dives into the science. And that for me, reading that last year, really solidified the evidence that people can be empathic. Now, what does that mean? There is different types of empathic gifts, and I'll go into those in a second if you wish. It means that we understand, science knows we are energetic beings. We use machines to measure energy. So MRI scanners, ultra scans, all of those uses energy frequencies. We are energy beings. And what being an empath means, which is slightly different from being empathic, there's two connotations of that, is we have the ability to sense vibrations. That's like it in its nutshell. Now, different humans have different, capabilities, or we've mastered the feeling or the tuning or the resonance of that a little more than others. So some people are amazing runners. They've mastered the art of walking, running, sprinting. and some are better at it than others. So think of being an empath in that sense. We can all walk, most of us, sorry about the disability folk, but in that context of humans are capable of walking if they have all of the functioning limbs. And so we all have the capability of being empathic. Some of us have come across it later in life. Some have different ways of knowing, feeling, seeing, or sensing energy. Now, it sounds really woo out there, but there's some really obvious examples that we use. And one is every human has walked into a room where there's been tension.
Yeah.
And if you can't see their faces, say everybody's turned with their back, taking body language out of it, if you can't read their body language, we can still sense. Some of us feel that emotional dissonance, which is a frequency that's erratic. Some of us can just know. So that's a knowing gift, an empathic knowing, which is clear cognizance. So we have different ways of knowing and tuning into energy. Some people have beautiful gifts with animals. People like you are just an animal whisperer, horse whisperer, dog whisperer, whatever. We have a way of communicating and sensing in different of our ways that we sense.
Yes.
What that animal may be feeling, trying to communicate to us, expressing historically or in the moment. So it's complex, but it's kind of really simple.
Yeah.
Like we feel things. We all feel to different levels. And
Mel, empathy is a really important component of human existence. It's very important to think and talk about empathy, isn't it? Why do you think that's so?
It's used in so many aspects of interhumaning. So we use it for our most intimate relationship, our loving partners, our life partners. We use it to read them, to connect with them, to empathize on a heart level. It opens our heart communication with those that we've chosen to love. And then, of course, that can come right down to interactions on the street or online. The way we can read and connect with people comes from a level of empathy, which is, again, slightly different from compassion. We can have compassion. So when I'm coaching, for example, I have compassion and I use my empathic gifts to connect, but then I have to make sure I don't allow that energy to affect my resonance. So if someone's emotionally distraught, upset, the mirror neurons of empathic connection need to be not switched off, but tuned out or recognized. Go, I don't need to feel their hurt, their trauma, their pain in order to empathize with them. But if I allow my energy resonance to connect, I can sympathize and almost identify sometimes better than they can what the real energy of it is. So let me explain a little bit about that. If someone's with us and they're deeply upset about something, it could be angry, it could be sad, like it's all heavy expression or large emotional expression. Now, they're what I call like top level emotions, anger, sadness, okay. They're top level, the general descriptions. So quite often somebody will say, I don't know what I'm feeling. I'm just feeling heavy or I'm feeling sad or I'm feeling angry. And it's like, okay, well, what's causing that? And we keep going under and then we'll find it. It's something the other day is I feel invisible. So you're frustrated, which was causing the anger outbursts, and it's all because you don't actually feel worthy of being heard. So my ability to empathize and feels like it's not just anger. Like I'm not I'm not buying into your anger. I'm not connecting and feeling angry at what you're angry about. I can feel there's something else, and it's actually a lot sadder. So what's causing the sadness? Oh, I actually don't feel respected, don't feel heard, don't feel understood. Actually, I feel invisible. Ha! There's the truth.
So wow.
The ability to be empathic is more than just empathizing and feeling sorry or expressing sympathy towards somebody else's plight. I'll let you ask where you want to go next from all of that.
Mel, is empathy is often seen as a feminine trait, but it's really important for men to have empathy, isn't it?
It's important for all humans. Having gone through chemo myself, I recognize the lack of empathy from doctors. And it's quite a male-dominated. Oncology is... Let's just say I didn't meet a female oncologist while I was there. And I get that their way of protecting, absolutely. You can't have a doctor that's so emotionally connected, so empathic, that it's hard to function. But empathy, when it's brought to a patient-doctor relationship, allows a connection to enable and facilitate faster healing. And the science is there. The studies have been done that empathy allows your heart to open, your emotions, your expressions of kindness and compassion and the other things to enable self-healing or for the treatments to work on a deeper level because you feel an empathic resonance with the person who's telling you what to do with your health and body. So if you've got a cancer patient, for example, who's terrified, as I was of my cancer,
and it's scary.
My chemo treatments, it's scary because cancer means death.
Hugely scary. Yes.
And if you have an empathic doctor who does their job medically, but delivers it from an empathic human element, enables more questions to be asked because you feel safer. It enables more comfort to be put in. The doctor who's calm, you've got this, I've got all the answers, I'm confident in the treatments I'm prescribing you take, I'm calm in your turmoil.
Yes.
And what happens is that mirror neuron starts to go, well, if you're calm, maybe I can be calm. So a gentler way of explaining this is we've all been around happy people. Some of us know those people who are just so happy all of the time. And the people who it rubs up the wrong way, well, that's a different discussion. But you can't help but smile. Babies laughing is one of the most adorable sounds in the world. Our body responds to it. The neural pathways and the mirror neurons respond to whatever we're experiencing. So we see somebody smiling, we see somebody's confident, we see somebody's stressed, whatever somebody's having, the stronger resonance, the stronger vibration usually wins over. So somebody's stressed, everybody else can get stressed. However, I am phenomenal under pressure. Car accidents, been in several now, I'm the calm one there. And it's able to bring everybody else down because I take control. I'm calm. This is cool. See clearly. And it brings the resonance down that other people. Okay, she's not panicking. All right, she's got this. And that's where, I guess, leadership traits come from is how can I drop below the chaos of what's happening around me and help influence those in a positive way? And so the male and female, yes, men are equally capable of being empathetic. I think there's a lot of, look for the right words, perhaps beliefs that being empathetic is weak or is unprofessional or doesn't enable them to do their jobs cleanly, but the science proves otherwise.
Because, Mel, empathy is a conduit, if you like, to better understanding, compassion, feeling comfortable and calm. And it, as a conduit, it's a powerful skill, I guess. And that leads to my next question. Is empathy something that we can learn? And the reason I ask this is because when I was prepping for the interview today, a thought popped into my head about a certain politician who was sent away for empathy training. And I remember thinking at the time, seriously, do they really think this man who is so not empathetic can be taught something? So I'm going to ask you, Mel. Obviously, it's an interesting question, isn't it? Can humans be taught empathy?
Yeah. So I think from that context of someone being sent away to learn it, I think those kind of educational insights, I don't know, I've never done an empathy course, I would imagine
no.
would be about understanding other people's perspectives. It would be probably basic humaning, which really everybody should be taught in high school.
Yes.
But empathy comes from a point of understanding the human psychology, the human functioning, that we are energetic beings. Some of those things I just said, that we can influence state, we can change state, and we can do that really quickly as you learn to master self. But from a more, I guess, holistic perspective that we're talking about, can you learn? Absolutely. How do you learn if you're an empath? By paying attention to yourself. So how I learned I was an empath versus just an empathic coach was I was around a good friend of mine who's since become a very good friend, and we were at a networking event, and I was just feeling so nauseous for no reason. I had no idea. This was maybe 5 years ago. I said, look, oh, sorry, I'm not with you. I'm not present. I feel like I'm going to throw up. I don't understand why. I'm just really distracted. And she went, oh, honey, that's my energy. Don't worry about that. I've just got a big decision, big decision coming through. I'm just waiting for the phone call, but I'm like so nervous. I'm ready to throw up. And I'm like, and it passed. The feeling completely vanished within seconds. And I'm like, what? Google. Oh, okay. I'm a full-blown empath. So I spoke to my coaches at the time, and I'm kind of like, what is this empathy? Oh, yeah. Okay. This is how you... So yes, you can learn how to protect, tune, recognize what is yours, what's others. But then, like, the next levels after the basic kind of awareness of self is how do you use it with others to support others. That's not just coaching and using your gifts in a service base, but around your family. When I first learned I was an empath, being in networking events where you had to stand up and introduce yourself, I used to think I was always crapping myself before that. Then I realized I'm feeling all the people next to me. So then I learned how to not only protect myself and go, okay, I could explain a few of those, make a note of what we can do to protect ourselves, but also support others. So when somebody next to you is really nervous, going, okay, I'll take some breaths, I'll hold her hand, and it's just like, you got this. No, don't be nervous. You got this. So you can support other people, calm their energy, which then impacts you less. So I've forgotten where we're going with that.
I was just at the start of the conversation, we were talking about when you discovered that you were an empath. So for me too, Mel, I didn't discover till a lot later in life that I had an empathic tendency. And then I was actually able to go back over certain situations and realize that I was feeling other people's energy and recognizing that it wasn't about me, it was about the energy that I was tapping into, and realizing that we are all energy, that we emit energy, that energy is part of us, and how we vibrate is perceivable to empaths at a higher level. And therefore, it took me a while to realize, oh, okay, so I have to protect my own energy so that I can still be that empathic, loving human being. And that leads me into the next portion of the conversation, was once you discover you're an empath, and I believe that there's tools available readily on the internet, and that you've got some of those tools as well that help you discover if you're deeply empathic. Because for some people who don't recognize this or don't understand, they can be always sick or have headaches, because it often presents in a physical manifestation. If you've been, like we just described, a big networking event, I know that I have to come home from those and take some time out, because it's just all the energy in the room is powerful for me. That doesn't affect other people that way. And once you discover that you're a little bit different, it's really, really, really helpful, isn't it, Mel?
It's super powerful. I used to think I lived with mild anxiety all my life. I thought I just was anxious about many things, and I'm highly functioning, confident. Didn't impact me. I just felt these waves of anxiety all the time. And then, oh my goodness, it's just other people's nerves or fears or whatever's going on in their life. So deeply empowering to get your energy back. And there's two things. Yes. You said something there, both how you protect your own energy, but also, of course, how you protect from receiving other people's energy.
Yes.
And
those two points.
Yes, there are tools, and we can definitely hook up in the show notes my empath quiz so that you can see where you are. Mm. And it's a bit of an indicator of, I've broken it into four stages. But some indicators, if you listen to this thinking, I might be an empath, am I? How do I know? So nothing is definitive. Mm. Think of everything on a scale. And it's kind of like, all of the pieces together give you a better indication. And even the questions in the quiz will kind of start to have you reflecting and looking back on things differently. But some indicators are deep empaths often are those change makers in the world. So they want to help causes. They want to make a difference in people's lives. Now, it's not to say one goes with the other. Okay. So these are all indicators only. Okay. But we are often driven by cause. And if you think about it, it's the driver to stop feeling a certain way.
Yeah.
So animal causes deeply affect me. Deeply, deeply. I cannot hear about stories of animal hardship in any form. I have to very carefully select what I look at, what movies I watch, even to some degree, the people I interact. If they have animals, but I feel that their animals aren't as content as they could be, even that affects me. So we can be deeply affected in a similar vein by violent or deeply emotional movies. Violent movies for me, I learned 20, 30 years ago, they stay with me. The visions recur over and over, and especially torture scenes. They shock my core. They horrify my soul. One, that people can write this kind of stuff. Two, that humans somewhere have probably done to each other the things watching on TV or in movies. And three, I can almost empathize, not because they're acting, but empathize with the character. So I don't feel the pain, but I'm deeply traumatized by the hardship that whatever the cause of being in
Yeah.
those are. So what I want to kind of really clearly articulate is you are not too sensitive. I take a stance against people saying you're too sensitive, toughen up. No.
Absolutely.
Irks
Look,
me. I want to
I have to
swear.
vehemently, absolutely, the number of times people have said to me, you are too sensitive, you are taking that to heart. No, that's not the case. This is the way I was made, and it's okay.
And we need more sensitivity in the world because there is too much carelessness with others
Desensitize.
and more desensitization. I mean, just look at the porn industry. What used to be hardcore 30 years ago is now free to air to children. The world is not becoming sensitive enough, quite frankly.
Agreed.
The challenge is, rather than you're too sensitive, is you haven't learned how to master your sensitivity. So learning how to protect, how to switch off, how to tune out, how to literally shut down or go away from, that is what we need to master. That's what our self-responsibility is. So if you're in a household where everybody else likes scary movies or, torture James Bond stuff or whatever that makes exciting for you, I just make myself unavailable for it. I am not available to be uncomfortable. I'm not available for my emotional state to be affected when I don't want it to be, when I choose not to, when I have another choice. And yes, it might be unfair that the rest of the family enjoys it and they kind of make out you to be wrong or too sensitive. I'm responsible for my own welfare.
That's right.
I
And if
stick headphones
Millie.
on. Reagan likes watching Vikings and some of those other things. Oh, too much. And we have this agreement. He watches it. Either he wears headphones on so I don't hear the sounds, or I come in the office and I put headphones on. Find a compromise so I
So you
manage my
have
own
choice.
sensitivity.
Yeah, you have choice. But the first part of that is to recognize that in yourself. Because if you don't, then you'll just be feeling at ease and uncomfortable with the world. And like you said, some of those things that we allow into our minds via our eyes, i.e. movies, they do stay with you. And I'm not so much affected by violence. I'm actually deeply affected by injustice, no matter what that injustice looks like. It affects me deeply within my heart and soul to the point of either rage or tears. So it either goes it goes two of each ways, and I've had to learn, just as you have, what I need to do to take myself out of that. Because it's not that it's damaging, but it impacts on you living your best life. And we want every human to live their best life, because you deserve that, Mel. And part of why we have these discussions, and part of why Mel has partnered with me to present these series, is because education is power. Understanding is power. The more you understand yourself, the better human being you will be, and therefore the better the planet is. Because if we didn't have empaths that cared about climate change, or empaths that cared about endangered species, or empaths that c cared about the state of the waste management across the planet, none of these things would change. They would just get worse and worse and worse. So it's really important concept and to understand and develop, because they're important for the ongoing health of humans as a whole and Mother Earth as an entity. And again, it comes back to energy, doesn't it, Mel?
And this, none of what I'm talking about is any political positioning.
No.
It's how do we
No.
interact with each other, this one amazing, precious planet that we have, and understand how we are part of it. And I'll just go into a little bit because there are energy and environmental, animal and environmental empaths. So, environmentally sensitive empaths, they can feel the damage, developments around suburban expansions and damage of trees, anything that's around nature and change. They can actually be deeply feel sick, and be made ill from changes in the environment. And animal empaths, we pick up the feelings, thoughts, sometimes intentions of animals. That's something I'm a mild empath of. It's not, I worked for RSPCA in the animal behavioral team, and I had some amazing, profound experiences whilst I was there receiving messages from, I specialized with the felines. So got some messages from cats that
Cats are pretty cool, aren't they?
all animals are. All of them are. It's just some, I think, have been around. Either they've learned how to communicate with humans, so they've maybe had a couple of reincarnations, or they're just more intelligent. I don't really have a theory around it, but all animals, like horses, are profoundly intelligent, and that's why horses, animals, dogs, they're brought into hospitals for empathic connection to help ease and distract and to provide something that maybe humans can't, a level of communication connection that goes beyond talking with the English vocabulary or the
And the
vocation.
research around animals and trauma healing is vast and extensive, and the results of any sorts of animal therapy are profound. I know, as you probably already know, and I talk about my animals often across all of my shows, but one of my goats is called Whiskey. And
Good
there's a
goats. I love
really.
that. Love goats.
I have seven goats, and the leader of the pack of my goats is Whiskey. And he and I, the way that he looks into my eyes, it sometimes makes me very teary. But that goat, he talks to me, and then each of the other goats have varying, and as and I can back up what Mel says about some of the animals having old souls. Whiskey is a very old soul, whereas Brandy, the littlest pygmy goat, he's a very young soul. But different levels of energy from all of the goats, and then the llamas on top of that have a different energy, all of their own, both different personalities. But in relating that back to energy and empathy and communication, all of these things are combined to make you a better human. So I know interacting with my goats makes me a much better human. Number one, it makes me deliciously happy and delighted. If I'm having a bad day, all I need to do is go down and sit with Whiskey, who will snuggle up beside me, and the world is right again. And I think that for people who don't have access to animals, make a point to go and interact with animals and just give yourself that opportunity to see what it does for you as a human soul. Now, going back to our subject about empathy, one of the things I wanted to retouch on was about identifying the energy which is your own empathetic energy versus someone else's energy. Can you talk a bit about that, please, Mel?
Yeah, I just want to finish off a thought that just come to mind. One of my funny comebacks when people are like, this is all a crock of rubbish. It's all just woo-woo, it's all in your head. I'm like, have you ever had a pet? Have you ever had a cat or a dog? And most people have or have come across one. And did you ever feel that sometimes you could talk to that animal or the animal was telling you something? Yeah. That's energy. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We're going beyond just them barking at you for their food when they were and body language wagging their tail when they see you. Animals know when we're not well. How many times has something come sat in our lap? When I went through chemo, the cat was always on my stomach when I particularly had a lot of stomach challenges. And most people can agree that
Identify.
yes, they've had an experience with an animal that was energetic. So if we can do that with animals, which are less intelligent than us, apparently, then why
Supposedly.
can't we do it with each other? We twins have knowing. So we've got each other gifts. So that I just like to tell those stories when people are like, oh, this is all a heap of rubbish and there's no science. Like, really? Tell me
And
your dog doesn't know what you're thinking.
I think that one of the things about, and we talked in, at the start of the show about 2022 and beyond, I think that I would dearly love to see acknowledgement of this woo-woo as actually science-based recognition that there is greater things outside of us that we may never need to we may never understand fully, but we don't need to understand fully to have them present in our lives, do we? One of the stories that I like to tell about I've had many dogs and many animals around my life, but I had a I got a puppy when I had my first breakdown, and it was the deepest, darkest period of my life. And Bella stayed with me through that time, and she was a very special dog in that she had these big, fluffy paws. And when I was in tears, she would just snuggle beside me or jump up on my lap and put her paws on my shoulders like a virtual hug. And I'm going to try not to get too emotional because she was such a special dog. And as she got older and sicker, and so in her 11th year, she started to get slower and a bit sicker, started to lose weight, and I knew that something was not wrong. When we took her to the vet found a large mass in her liver, and to the point where it was impossible to prolong her life. So we made the decision to make her as comfortable and did those beautiful things like she loved McDonald's ice cream. So we used to drive through McDonald's ice cream and let her get the ice cream through the window and say hello to the attendants and do all those things, run along the beach and allowed her to get away with lots of things that as a dog, she wasn't always allowed to do, but we let her do those things in the last 2 weeks. And it was a very special period. But when the vet gave me that diagnosis, I knew in my soul that she had taken on all my anger, rage, and sadness, and it had resulted in a tumor in her liver. And I just knew. And I remember talking to the vet about this, and he said, yes, you will find that when people have had a dog at a special time in their place that's walked through trauma with them, they will have a resulting illness as being so closely connected to you. So I, she was an amazing dog, and I still miss her every day, almost 3 years since her passing. And I know that this is not woo-woo. I know, and I've talked to enough people, I've interviewed enough people to know that there is energy and spirituality outside our human experience that we need to stop dismissing as woo-woo. And again, part of that reason for partnering with Mel is to have these conversations to so people stop saying that's woo-woo and start thinking, okay, maybe this is going on for you. Maybe you're an empath. Maybe you need to protect your energy. Here's how you deal with your energy. Here's how you protect yourself from other people's energy. And I want to just delve a little bit more into that, Mel, about that protection from other people's energy as an empath.
There's a couple of different techniques that I teach my clients, but you don't need to necessarily learn how to do this. You can do this just with mindful attention. So everybody's different. So this is one of the things I kind of like You can teach it, but it's
But
not
you
like
need to tweak it.
one curriculum fits all. So some methods, and basically the best way to know is what most makes sense or kind of feels like, ah, that's what I should do. You have to trust your own intuitive knowing. So here's some suggestions for you. You can use an invisibility cloak. That's really useful in crowds, basically where you don't want to be seen. So a cloak, and that can also go around your car, or your house, your property. I put an invisibility cloak around the property when I go away for Christmas, protect the whole property. So if people are out casing the street, they just don't see our street, the house. They just kind of keep walking past it. So that's invisibility. The bubble is a really common one. Put a bubble up. So if you, I'm a massive Marvel fan, oh, Black Panther, I forget what the planet is, but they've got this dome, a bubble, invisible bubble. So you can use that again just for yourself, your family, your house, your car, whatever you want to bubble up against. And so the theory of all of these is you're setting this up, only love comes through. There's no boundaries to love. Love can come through, everything else just reflects off. What else? You can use a shield. Particularly good if you're in combative, confrontational situations, not perceived ones, actual ones.
Actual
So I like
ones.
to bring in my own warrior version of myself. She's a bit of a badass. And I think Wonder Woman is so powerful for us in this day and age. And you just wear a shield and it's just like, just bats off, nothing can come through. What else do we use? I think they're the main ones. My mind has just gone blank. It's basically whatever feels right. What I teach my clients before every session, at the start of every session, is we create what I call a safe zone. And so that's a space, an environment. But that could be off planet, it could be. Usually, it's like a beach or a forest or a field or by a waterfall. Usually, it's a landscape. Quite often, it's in a house or their home or their bedroom. Sometimes it's my office. But you pick a place and then you create a wall of protection. And that wall of protection could be from bricks, it can be invisible shield, whatever. You create a space around so that your soul and yourself and your higher self. And your super conscious can all gather and do the inner work safely without worrying about anything else coming in. And you can do that instantly the more you practice and doing it. So that's some tips of what you can do to shield from others.
Yourself as an empath, and we're talking specifically about empaths and protecting their energy, because for empaths, Mel, you will feel a range of emotions and you will feel energy that is not your own. And as you go along your empathic journey, you will discover what that looks like. The more you learn, the more that you embrace the education, the more that you seek out people like Mel to help you understand this, the better you are. And you get to the point where it's part of your everyday to protect yourself. One of the other things that I actually like to do, if I've had someone in my home and the energy has not been good, is I smudge, lavender, sage, whatever it takes, I smudge. And that's just a smoking ceremony of whatever description. And people will know that these ceremonies have been used for millennia by our ancient peoples across the planet. So why would we not use some of that ancient wisdom in today's life to protect us and make things better? Mel, you work with empathpreneurs, and I just want to quickly delve into empathpreneurs before we run out of time today, and why you love working with them best of any cohort of people.
Well, obviously, we love people who are like ourselves energetically. Like-minded is actually about like-energied. So helping other empaths understand their gifts, amplify their gifts, show up so they're not so impacted by the chaos of life around us. They're my people. I'm here on earth to help, particularly people who work with their gifts as a profession, to help them. So that's why empathpreneurship. So entrepreneurship, how do you become better in business with whatever your gifts or talents are that you use in your service-based industries? Because the amount of empaths I come across who are healers, coaches, and work with other people, but don't realize that they're being impacted by other energy. And actually, just to add what you're saying about saging, I actually don't sage. I just do energy clearing. And to do that, I just ask all frequency, all energy below the vibration of love to be cleared. Simple as that.
So it
And I
can be
focus.
as simple as that.
And I just focus on, particularly I start with my office. I start here, clear it out, move through the house. Just imagine, clear it out, clear it out, clear it out. It takes less than a minute. You just visualize each room being cleared, and then I backwash with love. Imagine a wave of love coming through, just filling up, expanding, and that's what stays. And then you put your protection up behind it. So saging, nothing against it. I just find quantum's a bit easier.
Mel, love is the highest energy. Is that my understanding? Love, the frequency of love is the highest energy
Well, technically,
frequency or.
no. On the consciousness scale, enlightenment is.
I keep
So
forgetting about enlightenment.
there's more. So love is 528 hertz, and enlightenment goes up
Yes.
to 1,000.
A
Whoever
thou
made the scale up, I
yeah,
don't know how.
okay.
So, but love. Nothing wrong with too much love.
Is up there. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Now, before we run out of time today, I want to mention that in 2022, you want to start speaking loudly and openly to people about these subjects. So, can you quickly tell for anyone in the audience today that's listening or watching and would love to hear more from Mel, or you'd like Mel to talk to your group, your company, your corporation, how do they get in contact with you, Mel?
Oh, that's easy. melb.com/speaking. All the details are in there. So if you want to go, you can check out my speaking topics, my keynotes for bigger conferences. And of course, virtual is the way of the world now. So you can see my speaking topics, and it's all focused around empathy, but I like to tailor the content to the audience and the subject. And the focus or the takeaways or the objectives of the event. So yeah, thanks for that. I love speaking to empaths and about empathic gifts.
And it's from my perspective too that it's not just individuals and people, companies or businesses working in the spiritual realm. This is actually highly applicable to corporations and corporate life because teaching your employees and your managers, and your senior leaders about empathy is going to be game changing for your corporation. Isn't it, Mel? And that's an area where you also have wonderful results in talking to those organizations at that level to make sure that the managers and leaders within a corporation have an understanding of empathy and what that looks like in their business specifically.
Yeah, I'd love to know what that, not that I ever want to work with politicians, but love to know what
Missed that
not
out
my
because that's
people.
where it would be, that would be where it would be the most pertinent place would be in Canberra. And perhaps not you, but someone out there needs to give them
Well, if
empathy
not me, then
lessons
who? Maybe that's the
across the
point.
board. Maybe.
But it's all about implementation. It being sent on a course doesn't mean you suddenly are.
Correct.
Maybe I do need to look at what are they teaching as an empathy course on a basic humaning level. Maybe there is a workshop
Yes.
there, but it's my people are more the ones who are empath and help them up level and
Already.
have a
Yeah.
wider
Yeah.
reach within the
Their sphere.
realms of their own spheres and contact reach. That was a lot of words about reach there.
Fantastic, Mel. We are out of time, my wonderful friend. And just a reminder for those audience that are listening and watching today, don't forget to jump on to melb.com. That's with the double L. There are so many things on Mel's website in terms of resources, courses, connection, and most importantly, her speaking page where you'll find her media kit and information and her keynotes and everything that you need to make a decision about getting Mel to come and speak to your group, business, or corporation. Melby, I can't wait for next week's show. I've actually made a note that I forgot to write down what we're talking about next
That's
week,
okay. We're
but
talking
we will.
about. Sorry.
You can tell everyone what we're talking about next week since I've forgotten to write it down.
That's okay. It's about next level of unconsciousness being kind of more present to realize we are being unconscious a lot of the time and how to be kind of aware of our programming, our defaults, and those sorts of belief defaults.
Fantastic. It will be another amazing interview and conversation next week. Please join us this time next week when I talk to Mel B again. Mel, thank you so much for being on the show. And that, my friends, is your lot for this week. We'll be back next week, same time, same place, with the gorgeous Mel B. Bye for now.
Bye, everyone.